We go from fantastic boxing last week to my man, boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And how are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, Pedro. How's everything with yourself?
I'm doing all right. Let's talk about Shakur Stevenson, double S, 2016 Olympic silver medalist. Any flaws last week that you could point out?
Man, I tell you what, you know, if ESPN were to close the show playing the Monkees, I'm a believer. I am a believer, man. Shakur Stevenson's a bad boy. He is all the hype and the bag of chips. He really dominated a really good fighter in Jamal Herring, you know, and he barely broke a sweat. You know, Herring showed some guts in the fourth round. He kind of came on, and Shakur Stevenson just stepped on the gas. You know, he really looked like another level.
I'm going to say it again. When you're the B guy and you're the opponent, you really don't have a whole lot of opportunities to win because, A, the boxing establishment feels you're gonna lose because, in fact, you know, the promoter's picking you to come in here and lose to his guy the whole nine yards. The odds are probably against you. I mean, so you have to make a fight of it. You have to, like, when he went back after the first round, when Waring went back after the first round, my man Bomack used that word, used the MF word a bunch of times, okay? And he was trying to get this guy fired up. You got to go after the MF. You have to go. In other words, if you want to win, you don't stand there and try to box with Shakur Stevenson and or box with Floyd Mayweather like Robert Guerrero, like so many guys in the past. I don't get it. I just don't get it. When you can't outbox a guy, you can't outbox him. So you got to find some other way to beat him. And when you're the opponent, you're the B guy wearing needed to put extreme force and unbridled aggression forward last week in order to try to keep his title. He didn't do it. He got stopped anyway. What's the difference?
Absolutely. I mean, you have to go out, you know, doing what you do best. Now, yeah, I'm sure Jamal Herring prides himself as a good boxer himself, but, you know, after about a minute into that first round, you know, he's got to process that in the computer, you know, in his brain, like, okay, let's go with a plan B. And like I said, I thought he had to impose his man strength on him. You know, he's 35 years old, but he's a fresh 35. You know, he doesn't have a long career. You know, hasn't really been in any wars. He had to bring it to Shakur Stevenson, volume punch, head in his chest, be the bigger man. And Shakur Stevenson not only proved that he's a grown-up, you know, his body, he's a thicker guy. He's just a better fighter, and he's got a mean streak. And I think if the fight would have gone left, let's say Jamal Herring would have bend the rules, I think Shakur Stevenson would have tapped into that mean streak that he has. Like we've seen other great fighters like Miguel Cotto, Andre Ward, who kind of have tiptoed the line of being a dirty fighter. And he would have brought that side out of Shakur Stevenson. I think Shakur Stevenson just is another level above Jamal Herring. And if Herring wants to continue, I'm sure he could beat a lot of guys at that weight class. But Stevenson obviously is not one of them.
Okay, you brought up Andre Ward. I wasn't going to bring him up this segment, but I was going to bring him up a little later. Hector and I were talking about Andre Ward last night. Of course, Hector wanted to make a move at one point try to become his manager back in 2003 or something like that. Anyway, bottom line is, it ended up going to James Prince, Sir Rap-A-Lot Records, the CEO down there in Texas, and the rest is history. Now, Hector's contention is that Andre Ward is not a superstar. He's a star. He's not a superstar. And that had he went with Bob Arum or Don King, he would have been 10 times bigger than he is now worldwide.
That's debatable because it's Andre Ward's personality, I think, that probably inhibited him from being a quote-unquote superstar. I think to us, to the boxing mainstream press, he is a superstar, but he doesn't have that crossover appeal. I know he appeared in the movie, and I think it was the first Creed movie. You know, that
bro,
was like
bro,
after
bro.
He
if
was
he walk, if, you know if like, he walk, if he walked down the street in San Francisco right now, nobody would know who the screw he is. Nobody would know who he is. I mean, I'm just telling you.
Yeah, and you know what? There's only a handful of athletes that have that crossover appeal in general. Even like Mike Trout, who's the best player in baseball, he could walk up and down 42nd Street. Unless he's in uniform, no one's going to recognize him. It still doesn't diminish their greatness. It diminishes their pockets, you know. But let's say, you know, Andre Ward is is Captain America. You know, he's a gold medalist. He's clean cut. He is everything you would love your children to be.
All the accolades that you just threw at him, he deserves it. He's a son of God. He's a wonderful family man. He's a great father, a great husband, the whole nine yards. Okay, but he didn't, how can I put this? He didn't sell tickets in his own home city. He wasn't a guy that you wanted to tune. I mean, I can't believe, I don't know anybody. I don't know too many people said to me, guess what, Blood? Andre Ward's fighting tonight. I ain't missing it. Hey, Hagler's fighting tonight, Pedro. Marvin's going to fight tonight. Tommy's fighting tonight. Roberto's fighting tonight. Ray's fighting tonight. You know what I'm saying? Right. I mean, there isn't the same. It ain't the same.
I hear you, and also in part is Andre didn't fight in the most exciting style, you know. Despite fighting a who's who of that era, you know, Carl Froch and
Kessler,
Kessler. You know, he fought everyone he had to fight. He never ducked anybody. He fought the best that was available to him, you know. But he also fought in that, you know, Bernard Hopkins self preservation defense first. You know, not exciting to some, you know, to the most part, people. People want to see knockouts. People want to see, you know, people get hurt. And Andre Ward really didn't do that. You know, he was just superior to everybody. And, you know, he showed, obviously, grit when he had to in the second Kovalev fight and stopping probably his hardest nemesis. So that also had to play a part into it. And no, he's a good guy. You know, he's not out there in strip clubs making it rain like Floyd Mayweather
was. Okay, I got a question for you. Did the son of God turn into a little bit of a devil in that second Kovalev fight?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, his prayers were answered when they read the scorecards in the first fight. So, ask Kathy Duva. I'm sure she'll tell you that, you know, one or two shots are low.
Kathy Duva, of course, the wife of Dan Duva. She's the president of Main Events. Of course, this is a man that started pay-per-view back in 1981. He had the vision to put pay-per-view on home television when he put together Ray Leonard and Sugar Ray Leonard and Thomas Hearns in their first fight in September of 1981. It was the limited pay-per-view across the country. We watched it for $14 here in the city, and we were blown away by it, watching big fights on TV like that. That was the first, man. And now, I remember Don King came on my show and said, they're killing it. They're killing the business. Aram came on the show and said, pay-per-view is the end of boxing. Those guys made billions off pay-per-view, those two men.
Yeah, I think they were, you know, I think they're just haters because he didn't come up with it first.
And may he rest in peace. Talking about Dan Duva, of course, he died from brain cancer, a brain tumor. You know what's funny? But ironic is that both he and Jay Larkin, the Showtime executive producer, both got the same thing, and they were partners. You know what I mean? They were buddies, and this. It was like, that was just a little weird type of thing. Anyway, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA, of course. Little Tower of Power to the break, keeping it real, baby. This time it's real. Guess what? Tower of Power's got yet another lead singer out there, and his name is not Socrates Palmer. You are tuned to Ring Talk. Who walked with such a gentle sway, and I knew right from the start, she was the one who could calm my heart. I know someday that we could happen in a special way. I wish I may.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The soul side of town, Mighty Tower of Power. The boys are rocking and rolling. They're on tour again, of course. They've always been on tour. They've never come off tour. In fact, it is the touringest band I've ever met in my entire life. These guys are on the road like 250 days a year. Good Lord. Who wants to be on the road 250 days a year and these guys are all over 60? Something's wrong. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live. Well, maybe you don't have any life at home. Anyway, bottom line is you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing. MMA brought to you by the World Boxing Council. Of course, their interactive website is WBCBoxing.com. Looks like last night, former IBF number one light heavyweight contender, Fan Long Cold Blood Ming. I guess he's Chinese. 17 and zip, 10 KOs, remained undefeated with a 10-round decision over Israel Dufus. Dufus falls to 27. That was predictable, 97-93, 96-94. And I think in the main event, lightweight, Miguel El Gallo Moreo, now 10-1-1, 4KO, scored a 10-round unanimous nod over Victor Betancourt Jr., of course, 27-4, 14 KOs. That was a bit of an upset. Scores were 97-93, 96-94, and 95-94, all for the winner, Marrero. Now we go back to the boxing PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And, Sock, there's some guys fighting tonight that a lot of people really haven't heard a whole lot about. Who is Jamal Shango James?
You got me.
These guys are fighting. That's the reason why I'm bringing this up. These guys are fighting for the WBA welterweight title. He's going up against Razvav Budaev. And these guys are fighting tonight, of course, on the same card. Your man, Jaron Boots Ennis, 146.5 pounds, taking on Thomas Duarlame, the former champion, I think, or the guy from Columbia, down from South. Anyway, Miguel Rivera is on the card as well with Matias Ramo. But Boots Ennis, you've been high on him for a while, huh?
I'm as high as, you know, within reason. You know, he's being brought up the correct way, slow and steady. He's fighting guys that are kind of like junior welterweights, and now they're like on the back nine of their career. Thomas Duarlame, perfect example. A vet, he's got a name. Tailor-made. You know, Jaron Ennis comes from a boxing family, and that helps a lot. You know, he's from the Philadelphia area. And so far, so good. You know, I would still put Virgil Ortiz a little ahead of him as far as the prospect and, you know, next big thing at the welterweight division. But Ennis is right there. And Duarlame will definitely be a good test for him. Smaller guy. But I think Ennis, if he wants to show the world that he's here, he's going to have to be impressive. And if he could stop Duarlame, who I believe has never been stopped, that would be a big statement.
Okay, you mentioned Virgil. I mean, Virgil and Spencer are going to hook it up. It looks like Virgil Ortiz and Spencer are going to hook it up. I'm going to go out on a limb right now. I'm going to pick the youngster. I'm going to pick the upset guy. I'm going to pick the underdog. And the reason why I say that, because I'm still not sure that the guy that got thrown out of a car at 150 miles per hour is going to be all right.
You know, I don't think you're crazy at all. You know, Virgil Ortiz is obviously the pressure fighter. I mean, I don't question Errol Spence's desire to be great, you know, but you can't tell me that Virgil Ortiz is not the hungrier fighter, the guy that sees the world in front of him. If, you know, if he gets an opportunity against Errol Spence and he beats him, wow, that's a monster statement. And he is, you know, with his elbows clearing out space for that pound for pound ranking, you know, he's knocking on the door if he's able to knock off Errol Spence. I wonder when that's going to happen, when the WBC is going to mandate that.
December. December or January was somebody who was telling me. That's what I was hearing yesterday, December or January. So, I mean, December will probably be a little bit too soon, but.
Yeah, I think it needs a little bit more seasoning, you know, but probably early next year. It's a big fight and one that could do big numbers as far as ticket sales in Texas, I'm sure. Which would be the logical thing to do, right? Instead of, you know, putting in Vegas.
Well, that's an all-Texas battle, man, and I got news for you. Errol Spence is not going to be the crowd favorite. Jamal James. Huh. Who is Jamal James? He's 27-1 with 12 KOs. He's a welterweight, former MMA fighter, fighting out in Minneapolis, Minnesota, taking on Razvav Budaev, who's 13-0 tonight. Of course, that's going to be on the ESPN card, I believe. No, it's just on the Showtime card. Bottom line is Showtime at ESPN going tonight. Now, Showtime's going to go with Jose Cepeda and Josh Vargas. These guys were hooking up at the press conference yesterday.
Well, I'm going to try to put my bias aside. Jose Vargas is from my neck of the woods, the Bronx, New York. A young man that I have seen come up from the amateur ranks when he was training at Morris Park Boxing Club, where I used to hit the heavy bag. So I'm going to say that I'm definitely rooting for him. With that in mind, this is a monster step up. Cepeda is a world-class fighter. You know, he was in the fight of the year about a year ago. And he is, what can I say? He's probably he argued maybe the third best 140 pounder, you know, outside of Taylor and Ramirez. It's a big step up for Josue. And things got ugly during the weigh-in. You never want to see a trainer get. I mean, trainer is one thing with their mouth, but he actually touched Vargas by pushing him with that. I hope the commission looked at that and hits him in the pockets. Maybe docks his feet. You know, I mean, I know they have no control, but he should be hit with a fine, because a trainer, you can badmouth all you want, but when you put your hands on another fighter, I mean, there's no need for that. And you know, it's that testosterone is weigh in. People are cranky. You're not making the weight. I mean, you're drained, and it's really a little bit out of Vargas's character. You know, Vargas is a very low key kid. So you know, it's going to be an interesting fight. Another chapter in the great Puerto Rico Mexico rivalry. I have to give the edge to Cepeda, though. Cepeda is a world class fighter, and you know, let's see if those ways on that level.
Cepeda 34-2, Vargas 19-1. Of course, Vargas coming off the win over Henry Lundy. You know, and he beat Baranchuk before that. So, I mean, he's a decent fighter without a doubt. You're rooting for him, so let's hope the kid from the from New York City can do well. Speaking of New York City, are they going to ever host this lightweight title fight between George Kambosos and Teofimo Lopez? Is that going to end up in yours? Where's that going?
Well, they announced it's supposed to be November 27th at the Hulu Theater, which is formerly known as the Paramount, also known as the Felt Forum. It's the small house in the garden. It's supposed to be November 27th. You know, you cross your fingers. You know, it's had so many different postponements.
Six.
Yeah. So I just hope I'll believe it the day of the weigh-in, and they're both there and they're locked in the hotel. They can't escape. And we'll see you on the 27th. It's a good fight. You know, it makes sense having it in New York, in a smaller venue. I think it should do well in terms of ticket sales. And there's a lot of bad blood there. So it should be for good television.
The people that promoted the Mike Tyson, Roy Jones exhibition, whatever it was, Chiller, whatever you want. Anyway, they failed to come up with the money for this one as far as the fight was concerned. Evidently, you know, had to go to the second bid as far as Barry Hearn was concerned. Of course, Matchroom Boxing. Shouldn't that disqualify them from doing anything in boxing? Shouldn't those guys just be run out the door on that one? I mean, come on, six cancellations basically because they couldn't, a lot of times because they couldn't come up with the money?
Yeah, I mean, it really, you talk about something that just went left overnight. I mean, they came on the scene with this, supposed to be a $6 million payday for Teofimo, which would have been like about four times what he's made, you know, from Top Rank. And then about a month later, I believe they signed Jim Lampley. And so it's like, okay, we have a new player in boxing broadcast. And then I don't know what happened. You know, you talk about just the roof caving in on them.
Well, Lampley wouldn't do it because they brought Donald Trump in. He wouldn't do it.
That's
Lampley
the
backed out. They brought in Donald Trump. Lampley said, "Screw you! I'm not getting involved with this. I won't have anything to do with that."
Really? I thought he just didn't want to be a part of the Holyfield.
It was Donald Trump being part of it. Larry came on the show and talked about that. I put Larry on the spot on that one. You know, because I wanted, because I knew what it was. I knew what the answer was before I asked him. But I thought that was, you know, Jim Lampley has been criticized by me for certain things. But the bottom line is, I thought that was a lot of class. He hadn't been on TV in a while. He was a guy maybe starving for a little, because he's a TV star for the most part. Let's be honest. He's spent most of his life on television. Hasn't been on TV for a while. So that would have been a shot for him to get back in the groove, the boxing groove, and this and that. But he turned it down, and I'm sure he turned down a five-figure payday on that one as well. So I give him props on that one without a doubt, Jim Lampley. That was pretty cool. Now, tonight, who's going to win the who's going to win tonight between – I mean, you say that your guy is under should be the underdog. How does Cepeda win this fight?
You know what? Josue is a gutsy fighter. He's going to be fighting at home. His family and friends, he needs to stay disciplined, and he gets hit a lot, and that's why I'm picking Cepeda. But Cepeda has a lot of miles. Maybe tonight's the night that all that mileage catches up with him. But Vargas is a live dog.
Good point. No doubt about that. Next week, we're going to go in depth about the career of Oscar De La Hoya, you and I, okay?
Copy, brother. Thank you for having me on again.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. That is Boxing 2HP, 2PHE, the one, the only, Socrates Palmer Jr. of the Bronx, baby. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. More after the break on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.